CliffCentral.com.
CliffCentral.com on a Wednesday morning. We've got Bulelo, we've got Tumi Morake, we've also got Sean joining us in a moment or two, but it's a busy spring morning for us. We've got lots of other stuff coming your way in the next couple of minutes. We'll do a quick weather update around the country because this is always interesting, especially for those people who listen to a podcast like 2 weeks later and don't give a damn about the weather. But it is cool. So, Bulelo, here he is. Live from our Johannesburg studio, here's Bulelo Tinta. Go on.
Well, Gareth, I'm out here with his weather,
yes,
and in the weather,
yes.
It's weathering.
So there are clouds. Details. No details.
And yes, cumulonimbus, some of them, some of them not so nimbus.
Hang on.
That's the weather.
Hang on. While you're busy, just talk among yourselves. I actually need to see what the weather's like. Hold on. Now that there's light outside.
So, did you just say spark among yourselves?
So it's cloudy.
I just want to say at this stage,
It's cloudy. It's not shit, but it's cloudy outside. It feels like one of those days where it threatens to rain, but you're not really sure if it's going to. So there we go. That's useless information
now,
for you this morning.
Gareth, being a weather reporter myself, I do have somebody who worked at the SABC. Did you mean cloudy as in Mortening?
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Or did you mean cloudy as in the weather?
Oh, no, I meant cloudy as in Motseneng. All right, so how about Tumi, let's have a weather report from Etekwini.
Well, here at Etekwini, it is quite humid. It is humid as it sits in government right now. Wait for those votes. But, of course, a bit slippery as Zuma's excuses for why he mustn't stay in jail. Back to you.
All right, and finally we cross to Cape Town, where Sean can give us the weather in Cape Town. Here's Sean Saunders, the co-founder and CEO of, Revix. So tell us, what's the weather like there, dude? What's happening?
Gareth, do you think I look outside? And firstly, how am I supposed to go after these two, like, accents and, like, the acting after
Sorry,
that?
Someone
gosh, like, I'm
the
crypto guy. I sit inside. I'm the whitest guy in Cape Town. Like,
you're our only guy in Cape Town, so you have no idea. What time did you wake up and go to the office this morning?
You don't wake up at Revix. You just stay awake.
You stay awake the whole time. Listen, speaking
of
which,
very Cape Town, you know, throw the hair back. Yeah.
Yeah, but speaking of staying awake, what the hell happened? Why are the prices cratering again?
Last week, by the way, you jinxed it. You're like, when Sean comes on the show, the prices always go up.
Well,
the prices have come down. I've actually bought into this dip myself because you always ask, I suppose, you know, are you actually buying into the market? Are you buying into the coins that you're launching and all the rest? So I've bought into this because this has got nothing to do with crypto. This has got a lot to do with what's happening in China. And this isn't COVID related, but I'm sure you've heard of the whole Evergrande debacle that's taking place. And if you haven't, then you're lucky. But essentially, this is sort of something that's clutching the financial news. And it's really this really massive, and I mean, to say really big would be an understatement, but this massive property developer that has got itself into a lot of debt and is now not able to repay its debt. Surprise, surprise. So it's got $300 billion worth of debt. And, you know, just to put things in context, that is about, it's about 100 times more than Eskom. So, it's in a bit of trouble.
100 times more than Eskom, and we thought we had the worst behaving parastatal or the worst behaving business in the world here in South Africa. But clearly, someone is actually worse than Eskom. Guys, let's celebrate. That's truly an incredible achievement. Someone is worse than Eskom. Please, take stock. So, Sean, how does
the difference
this
is, remember, that, you know, it should be saying like the 5th of November or something like that. But remember that you've got China that's sitting behind this parastatal. And it's not really a parastatal. It's actually a sort of separately run business, kind of like Eskom, actually. But the government is stepping in, and they are assisting it.
But why
South Africa doesn't have the... Yeah.
Why is this our problem in the world of cryptocurrency? Like, why the hell does some badly behaved company in China have to force our prices down? What the hell is that all about? Explain the link.
Yeah, well, it's this super connected financial system that we have today, right? So you've got American banks that have bought into some of the debt of this property developer. China naturally is a very big economy, right? Second biggest economy in the world, catching up with the US. And now when, you know, China has a hiccup, the rest of the world feels it. It's the same as when you started looking at Lehman Brothers and all the rest in in the US, right?
The subprime mortgage crisis. That was 2008, right?
Exactly, right? So it's like the same sort of thing where the contagion that could occur from having, you know, some sort of a default here would be really, really big. And I mean, I'm sure in some way, shape or form, you'd have South African banks equally impacted. So the ripple effects take a bit of time, but this is happening right now. And it's, I don't think it's going to be anything like the 2008, 2009 financial collapse. Why? Because China steps in and all of a sudden they just stop it. And that's what they seem to be doing. But yeah, it is it is a big concern. Led to them.
Sorry to keep interrupting you, but I'm like trying to just get back to, because I'm sure lots of us are very concerned about it. Property company in China. And I know that there are ramifications for us, but for most of us, the ramifications are that we see that Bitcoin's at $42,000 at the moment and Ethereum's back down to 2,800. Now, what have you bought in this buying opportunity? By no means is this financial advice for the rest of us, as I have to keep saying, but what did Sean Saunders buy when he saw the opportunity to get stuff cheaper?
I actually just bought Bitcoin this time around. But that's also because I think I bought a lot of Solana, Cardano, a few of the other cryptocurrencies over the last, say, 6 or 12 months.
Okay.
So I just sort of rotated back into Bitcoin. But hey, I'm not saying that I know anything here more than the market, right? I just think that this is a non-crypto event that's led to a big pullback in the crypto market. And the reason that these things happen, right, is the same as if you see the Rand. A lot of people think that the Rand actually moves because of anything that we do in this country. It doesn't. It moves almost entirely because of risk sentiments in the market. Right. When the market is saying, well, hold, the dollar is not a good investment to be in, or, you know, the interest rates in the US don't seem like they're going to be going up anytime soon, i.e. the economy is not going to be growing, then the money just runs into emerging markets. And that's just the way the world works. And a lot of people think, oh, it's, you know, Eskom's news or there's some corruption scandal. That's actually the only time that ever impacts really anything with the Rand is when it's that really bad news, like Zoom has done something terrible and then, you know, the market lands up running away. But other than that, I mean, it's the rest of the world that impacts the Rand, not actually what we do in South Africa.
Listen, there's an interesting point a lot of people are making. So there's so much debt being being gathered by countries. And we, you know, this China thing, the story that you just told us now makes me think, you know, Biden's printing money. We know that there's definitely inflation coming because now there's so much money flooding the markets, but it's money that we actually don't have. And even in countries like China, they're putting money into the economy to try and help themselves out of tough situations. This is bound to.
And I think that's what you're seeing a lot of wealthy investors look at as well. The likes of Bitcoin, the likes of Ethereum, the likes of Litecoin. I mean, these are now mainstream sort of assets. I think over the course of the last 2 years, these have become mainstream. And the central banks and monetary policies that have been implemented, they are facilitating just, as you said, like mass money printing. And you're for the first time actually seeing inflation really start tick up. People are getting concerned about this. I mean, Bloomberg's headline last week was all about inflation, right? You saw U.S. year-on-year inflation at 5.1% last week. That's 5.1% in the U.S., right? That's South Africa's inflation rate. So, I mean, yeah, it started.
Yeah, Tumi's just got back from the U.S. Did you see prices going up? You got back in February. So it probably hadn't started to hit very hard yet, but they're now busy signing this budget of trillions into the economy.
They are. The U.S. is in a very interesting state because it's got a lot of debt. Mm-hmm. Interest rates are still low, right? And this is the funny sort of game, right? Ray Dalio from Bridgewater Associates.
Yeah.
He's one of the most famous sort of hedge fund managers of all time. And I mean, he's focused and almost fixated on debt because you go in these debt cycles, right? Mm-hmm. And we hit arguably the top of this other debt cycle. And what's happened is you've had really low interest rates and lots of money's been printed. And essentially you've got this position now where it's, okay, well, we can actually repay this debt. Everything's fine. When interest rates start increasing, when the economy starts getting a little hotter, that's when things start getting a little scary. Why? Because now your 1% interest payment that you're needing to make every single year turns into, say, 2, 3, 4, 5. And the debt burden remains the same, but your interest repayments now are, you know, a multiple of where they are today. And that's where really things can go bad. And I think that's, you know, that's not today's problem. That's next year's problem or the year after that's problem. But that's really, I think, where the opportunity of having some sort of an alternative asset that's non-inflatable, being Bitcoin, being the likes of Ethereum, being something like that, is really where it comes in.
Yonder says, Sean, did you see last week Friday what Elon Musk was doing? He gave away crypto. If you bought one, he would double it, saying it's time to show crypto is the way because of the printing of money.
I think that may have been a scam. I'm going to be completely honest with you. Yeah, I don't think there's ever been a case, and I think this is maybe just something I must mention as well. There's never been a case really where anyone has sent crypto to somebody else and then they've sent them more. Like, if you want to send crypto out, why does somebody have to send crypto to start with? exactly. I think that's the most interesting thing, right? So, and this has been one of the biggest scams that have existed, that's been out there, right? So if somebody hacks, let's say, Elon's Twitter account, that's the sort of thing that they're going to ask for, right? A whole bunch of people are going to pay Bitcoin to this account and it's gone. You're not going to get anything back. I stand to be corrected. If you manage to send crypto to an address and you got more of it back, I keep my words, but I don't think that's happened.
All right. So just again, be careful because there are sharks swimming in these waters.
Yeah. It's the same as when somebody says, right, I'll send you this package if you send me a few thousand rand or something like that. It's like, why?
All right. Just quickly before we go, you launched just the other day, you launched Solana on your platform and now you've got BNB. That sounds like, that's not when you book a room in someone's house on the internet to go on holiday, is it? BNB?
Always bad breakfast. Always bad breakfast. Don't eat breakfast at a BNB. Just a little traveler tip.
What's BNB?
So BNB is another thing out of China, actually. Binance Coin. Mm-hmm. So Binance is the biggest crypto exchange in the world by a country mile. Okay. It has about 2 times the trading volume of all the other, or the next biggest competitor. It's a lot bigger than Coinbase, than Kraken, and far bigger than local exchanges like Luno. And what you're doing, I mean, when you're buying BNB, which is Binance's native cryptocurrency, is you're actually buying into that trading volume. And I'll explain why. Because essentially the way that they've constructed this token is it's a utility token, meaning that you can't really use it for monetary purposes. I can't send this token from me to you as money, like Bitcoin as an example. I mean, you could if you really wanted to, but it's not really designed for that. It's more a case of if I hold BNB and I'm trading on Binance. Now, Binance is made for crazy trading. So they've got all these different financial derivatives like futures and options that you can use. And when you hold this token, you get reduced trading fees. And substantially reduced trading fees, like 25% off every trade that you're making. So it incentivizes these traders on the platform to buy this token. So as Binance's volumes increase and as trading increases, and this is actually quite an interesting chart to go look at as well, go look at Binance's trading volumes over the last 24 months. Now, maybe a lot of people listening to this, they're going to go like, ugh, I don't really care. But if you look at this, it is absolutely insane. So just for reference, because I'm making all these references to the South African economy, I mean, South Africa produces, roughly speaking, $1 billion worth of goods on a daily basis. It's actually a little bit less than that as part of our GDP. Binance has 32 times that it has on trading happening every single day. So if those traders are buying these tokens, right, and as crypto grows in the future, as you know, all these other things get merged, NFTs, DeFi, and all the rest, Binance is like at the heart of that. Mm-hmm. So the coin that we're launching, BNB, is essentially that native cryptocurrency. Now, there's a few other benefits. I don't think we've got enough time to really go into all of that. But that's essentially what this coin's all about. Binance is the behemoth.
You're launching this on Friday. So if people want to buy into that, you've got an opportunity there. And you know, again, as we've said a couple of times on this show when we talked to Sean, is you don't have to go and put your life savings in here. In fact, we would advise you not to. It's better to just go and play with a little bit of money. You could put a couple of hundred rand in there and just see what happens. Do it.
Exactly.
All right, Sean, nice to see you, man.
And one more thing just to add to that,
yes,
before I cough and die here.
Yeah.
The launch that we're having on Friday is completely fee-free. So excellent. If you want to go ahead, you can go and buy into BNB. It is actually the fourth biggest cryptocurrency, right? That's how much trading is occurring on Binance.
Wow.
So yeah, fourth biggest cryptocurrency, fee-free for purchases, and you can get started with 150 rand. So it's as simple as that.
Magic. Thank you for letting us know. And that's how we get the deals. We get them ahead of everyone else because Sean tells us about them here. All right, good stuff. Thank you, Sean. We'll check to you later. We'll talk to you later. Cheers, man. Do me warake. Do you want to know what's happening?
Yeah, wait.
Do you want to know what's...
I'm looking at BNB.
Yeah, she's buying some. She's buying some BNB as we speak. Do you want to know what's going on in the news?
Yes, please. Yes. Right. I've been too toxic.
So you mentioned Jacob Zuma, and I know a lot of people think that he's no longer news, but his special plea is a rerun of the same complaints, according to Wim Trengrove, who was the counsel for the opposition here in this case. Former President Jacob Zuma says prosecutor Billy Downer lacks the title to prosecute him And the lawyer representing the National Prosecuting Authority says the country needs more prosecutors like him. So this is more of the politics that's going on behind the scenes. You know, Jacob Zuma's still trying to get out of the mess that he's in, and not just jail, but everything else. I was talking to some people last week who assured me that they have very solid information that he has not spent a single night in jail, that he's been put into very comfortable accommodations. He's obviously not allowed to move around, but he's not in a jail cell like you or I would end up in if we broke the law. He's definitely being treated with kid gloves. They're somewhere in Escort and KZN. And people are saying, well, he hasn't actually spent a single night in a jail cell. It's just wow. been like a nice, you know, well-furnished apartment or whatever. And it's all just play acting that we're seeing here. And that all of that medical parole shit that he's been given, that was all organized in advance. Now, how would you feel if that was true? Let's just assume it's true. Because I promise you they're not going to do that to you or to me or to Mbulelo or to Tumi if we end up in trouble. If we try and steal from people. And remember, funny thing about South Africa is you steal 40 rand from the bank, you'll go to jail, right? But you steal 40 billion rand, you can go and buy a house in Dubai and live happily ever after. So the more you steal, the less you get punished in South Africa. That's how it works. We take out like a weed dealer. There's some guy on the corner who's selling weed, and he'll get arrested and he'll get sent straight to jail. But if you steal millions or billions, don't worry, it'll all be all right.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, honestly, if I mess up in my house and then this family comes and they're like, yeah, deal with your child. The child has done this. Of course, to them, we'll be like, yeah, why not to me? Why not to me? As soon as these people are gone, I'm dealing with you. And then the people walk away like, I have to go make us a tea there and go back and watch the TV. Then I won't be surprised. I mean, we all know this is their playground. This is our country that we're always crying about and stressing about. For them, it's their playground. So I wouldn't let it wake me up. I would just be like, whatever, man, guys. As long as you putting the effort to continue the performance, whatever.
They are performing.
I'm done.
They're performing. That's the whole thing. It's a big show.
I got introduced to a miracle the other day by a new guy on our show called Senzo. It's called a show called Umnagwetu. Now, Dumi, I'm not au fait with this. I don't know if you are. But Umnagwetu is apparently a big-time Zulu gent. I don't know what the gentleman's name is. But he says Siyanamkela when he welcomes the people on the show. But I imagine him and Umsholozi kicking it right now. For those people who do watch it, it's on apparently on Mojo Love. I imagine them hanging out saying,
Spetabafazi, did you just
Spetabafazi?
Like that That's guy, when, I he says I'm, when he says I'm packing away the dishes, he must ask me. Like he's that guy. He's like, yeah, to go now, must pack away the dishes.
Yeah. I'm glad. Tonight. On E. That's what they're doing.
So that's one of the stories going on in the news at the moment. This is interesting. President Biden has urged unity in the first UN speech amid tensions with allies. I love the way this guy keeps talking about unity, but all he's doing is wherever he can, he's talking nonsense. I mean, do you think he's all there, Dumi? I mean, you were in the U.S. It's not like you were like visiting the White House every day. But when you see this guy, like he made a speech the other day where he must have screwed up 20 different things in the first sentence of his speech. I don't think he knows where he is or what he's doing. Sometimes people are too old to be in charge. And this guy is the prime example.
He's a lovable fool. Actually, my heart breaks for him. Like, he's so, because, you know, I was looking at footage of his history and where he's come from and, you know, from the time he first ran for president and the kind of guy he was. And
that was back at the founding fathers with Abraham Lincoln. Before that, it was George Washington. It was George Washington and Thomas Jefferson and Joe Biden. Those were the people who wrote the Constitution, weren't they?
Yeah, but do you know what hasn't changed about Biden? Mm-mm. He talks himself into a corner.
Always.
Like, he must talk and stop. Mm. See, his predecessor was just diarrhea, senseless diarrhea. His issue is he starts in the right direction And then the secretary in his head gets distracted, starts making coffee, and then he starts going and branching off. Mm. By the time the secretary comes back and says, no, Joe, that's not where we were going, it's over. I think that's what we're dealing with. But his heart is in the right place. He really means well. My only issue is with American presidents.
He gets
get different kinds of devil. You get just different faces of
I kind of get the feeling. I get the feeling he's actually a really mean, grumpy old man. Because when reporters when reporters ask him something he doesn't like, he actually attacks them. He's much worse than Trump in that respect. He's mean. Like he becomes that grumpy old guy. You remember Walter Matthau in that Grumpy Old Men movie? He gets like that. He's like, oh, well, what did you ask me about that for? Do you really have to ask that question? He gets like all aggressive with them. And I think the real Joe is actually a grumpy old man, a mean, nasty person. I don't think he's this kindly old grandfather. I think he's demented and he's mean.
I think he's tired.
He's probably tired.
I think
tired.
He finished his energy on Trump. He must be honest and go, this is great. Thank you for the election.
Right.
I feel like I may have tapped out at Trump.
Right. But you know, he can't leave. He can't leave because Kamala Harris is so unpopular that if he leaves, then she won't be able to get anything done in the White House. Nothing. Zero. People can't stand her. Her own team are abandoning her as we speak.
I think the first time I realized Joe has a problem was when he said, okay, if you're vaccinated, no more mask. I was like, somebody take this guy's drink away because he's going too far. Like, Anken.
Well, well, back here in
But now, what did Kamala do? Was Kamala unpopular just because she wore sneakers on the cover of Time? What?
No, because they built her up and really all she, her only qualifications for this job are that she's a woman and she's of color. She's got zero approval ratings. People in California, remember in the primaries, the Democratic primaries all those years ago, back in 2019 when we didn't have coronavirus, she couldn't even get enough votes to win the primaries in her own home state of California. People do not like her. I don't know why. I don't have any. She's very unpopular. And if they make her the candidate for the next election, then I think it's going to be a very big mess for the Democrats, really. Anyway, let's bring it home because Minister Lindiwe Sisulu.
Oh, I love her.
You like her. Well, she's just been appointed Minister of Tourism. She's brought a bit of a respite to the issue around South Africans being redlisted on the UK list. You know, like we can't travel to the UK and they can't come here at the moment because we're still on a list. Yeah. So apparently she says... Yeah. They're going to talk to the UK and they're going to see if they can't get us off this red list.
Is the minister then the UK a man? Because the reason I like it is she's a good looking coco. Have you seen it?
She is. No, smashed. She's not bad. She's not bad looking at all. Listen, I mean,
I'm like,
can I tell you something though, Dumi? It's slim pickings in cabinet in South Africa. Slim pickings.
That's true.
But she is.
They're not even slim friends. They're non-existent.
Well, Lindy is good. Like she's in good shape.
And she's got a brain. I like her. I, you know, when you hear people like that are having conversation with other politicians all over the world, you're like, we'll be fine. There are certain ones who, if they said they are talking to them about the red list, you're like, yo!
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. It's so good to have you on the show because a couple of weeks ago I was saying, as the great Angela Merkel was on her way out, I was saying, I wonder what she thinks when Msholozi and them were coming through in Davos, as she was sitting there, probably kicking it, you know, with the old school, whoever, douchebag UN people. And then Msholozi came through and said, Angel, have you seen my curtains? I've got 275 million rand curtains. Have you seen it? Ufunuguza? Uze Newcastle? Ngizokubona sala. Ngithenga ama tuck shop endlini. What do you think she thinks?
I don't think she
thinks. Thank you, Dumi.
So listen.
There goes all my hard work.
If you can, if they open up travel and they say, all right, well, you might have to wear a mask on the plane or whatever, but you could travel anywhere you want. Where's the first place you'll go?
Kenya.
Kenya?
No, I lie. That's already on the thing. I don't know. I haven't thought of, that's a tough one.
Bulela, weren't you meant to like go to Sweden or something next month?
Yeah, because of the red list stuff, it got so complicated. And I, even though Sweden doesn't need you to quarantine, because of EU law, there has to be a quarantine and it's just too expensive. So I've kind of Plus, I'd have to quarantine before that 100 miler, and then it's a whole thing of sitting still for 14 days. So I said, there's no way I'm paying 50 grand to go sit in a hotel in Sweden. So, yeah, where would you go, Gareth? That's a good question. If you could.
Oh, I don't know if I'm ready to go overseas yet, not because I'm afraid or anything, or because I have a major problem with the masks and shit, but there's nowhere that's like calling to me at the moment. Maybe like Greece or Turkey, because those are places I haven't been to before and I'd love to see them. Oh, and at this time of year, those places are just paradise. But otherwise, I'm not in a huge rush to go anywhere, hey? Not even because I used to go to New York maybe once a year and once every 2 years or whatever, but I love that place to pieces. But right now, I'm not feeling the pull. I'm not actually in a hurry to travel. So it's a strange thing that I know there are lots of people who are desperate to go because they've been missing out for 2 years. And, you know, for some people, their whole life is just travel. But I'm not really like
Italy.
That. Italy's magnificent. I'd go there again, but I'm not like hankering, you know. If I don't get to do it, it'll be fine. If I have to wait another year, that'll be fine.
It's interesting, sure, though, because also people are like, yeah, I just can't wait to go. Like, I need a trip, huh? And their bank account is going, true. You want to go check us because you're not going overseas.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Like, we also have to now relook at what this pandemic has done to our pockets. Because there are things you go, yeah, I'm ready for this trip now. And then you don't know what you're getting yourself into. Like, I got to learn what it's like to really find the human in me when it comes to my business. Like, I love money, guys. I have to tell you one thing. Don't mess with me and my money. But I had to go through a few months of people not paying rent.
Oof.
And I had to dig for Jesus in my heart. Yo, I had to find. Sometimes Jesus was dodging me. And I was like, even me, I have problems. Even me, I'm in a pandemic. Pay. But I'm really grateful. I never had to evict anyone. And I did take a big knock on one of my properties. But yeah, like the only reason I believe now I deserve a trip is because I'm going, but I mean, Jesus, yeah. And my stripes.
I deserve it.
Yeah.
I deserve it.
Well, I mean,
as long as you've justified it to yourself. Yeah,
that's my justification, yeah.
Because this is also the time of year where people start to decide what they're going to do in December, right? I mean, now... Ooh. Now you have to start planning, like, what am I – can I afford a holiday, first of all? Number one is, can I afford a holiday? Number two, if I can afford a holiday, where can I go? Number three, who do I really want to see this December? Like, do I want to be with family the whole time? Do I want to be with friends? Do I want to mix it up? Do I just want to go away with one person somewhere, like, romantic? What do you feel like doing? Because it's coming.
Oh, you've opened up Pandora's box
it's
there.
It's coming.
I just want to say this.
You've got 2 months and then it's there. It's here. You've got to move. It's like not around the corner or down the line. It's now. Have to decide.
So I was having a very interesting conversation with a teacher who teaches at one of the big boys' schools, and how even the economy has hit those families who have been lying to everyone pretending they have money. Okay. But let me tell you this. Let's talk about this now. You've really said something interesting there. Who do you think not being able to go on holiday is worst for? The yuppie kids who are just used to going to Plett and St. Francis, or the parents who are putting on the show of going to St. Francis every year just so they can be seen in St. Francis by the other St. Stidian's moms and dads? Because you know, a lot of parenting in that space is the show. It's all about pitching up with your Jeep, but also going on the ski trip with the Smiths. And I think that those parents are suffering more than the kids. Do you know what I mean? Like, we can't put the show on anymore.
I agree. I think that's exactly right. I think a lot of these parents are having a very tough time because the purpose in, and again, you know, this is very, very generalized, but it may apply. Like, some of these people, they live to impress other people in their community. And remember, this happens. It doesn't matter if you're rich or poor. This happens in all communities. It's like, I got these shoes at
Tavela for some people.
Correct. And then for other people, it's like, we're going to our usual holiday house as we do every year because it's a bit of a humble brag. It's like, you know, we've got this amazing 200 bedroom house and wherever. And for some of these people, if they don't have that stuff to show off, they don't really have a purpose. And you wonder why, because they used to always say, oh, you know, the husband, he works so hard because he works so hard. He's got such an important job. But at least we get that month in Plett, you know. Now that
that's exactly what now, they sound like.
So now, yeah. So now he's working all year, but he's not. But they still can't get the house in Plett. They're like, well, what was he working for? I thought you guys were rich. And their world falls apart under them. I don't know.
I guess we're under this pressure, Bulelo, because us, when we go on holiday, we go home. It's your uncle's house, your grandmother's house, your mother's
that's
house.
That's true.
So we're under less pressure. But I'm turning 40 in December, so this December for me has to be nice. My husband and I are turning 40, so yeah, nice. You love me, Gareth. Yeah,
what are you going to be doing? What are you going to be? Have you got a party planned? Invite some people.
You know, I know that Corona is a very unpopular, uninvited guest. So I'm trying to figure out a safe way to just have a nice ketapi with a gin bar and my favorite people, you know? Because also I feel December is the time for you to really commit to this story of mental wellness. There's certain relatives you really don't have to be around.
No.
You really,
amen.
It's fine. You don't have to go and suffer those people because that's how you make yourself sick. You actually get sick in December, then you spend January recovering from those toxic people. So if you're serious about mental health, December must be the time you're not with those motherfuckers. So yeah,
I totally agree with you. In fact, let's prioritize that. Forget about where you're going or how much money you're spending or whether or not you actually get to do something fun for the holidays. Let's just cut out the bad people. Let's just save ourselves some trouble by not having to spend time with people who don't make us feel good. Right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen, brother.
I wanted to ask you something. Sorry, Gareth.
Go ahead.
You know, as you're doing your thing and you're going to America, and man, I just find it awesome that you're flying our flag that side. Is, have you had any of that? I was talking to somebody who's successful and is also transitioning like you in terms of going international and doing it big. Have you had anybody make you feel like, you're leaving us behind? And I know we've just said cut out the toxic people that I loved what Gareth said. Have you felt any of that from within your industry? I mean, you don't have to name names, obviously, but has that happened to you? Because this other gent says he's feeling that quite a bit, where he's starting to hear people talking at him like, are you leaving us behind or whatever? Or has there been just general support from the industry for you? Like,
hey man, I keep stuff like this close to my chest because it's exactly that kind of cuck I don't want in my life.
I got you.
The most negative one, but it came from a place of love, was why are you leaving low-hanging fruit? Like, this is your oyster. It's easy for you. You know, why are you going there to go start at the bottom, to go have to push so much harder than you do here? And I was going, but that is the exact reason why I have to go. Because
yes, man.
I've become lazy here. I've become a little too comfortable here, you know? I think that's been the worst of it. But also people going, why they? Or this is what they do to black people. You know you'll die. And I'm like, okay, I don't know. I'll take my chances.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. But I don't know, man. Thing is, it's a thing I'm just doing. I'm not making it this big thing of I'm under pressure. And oh my gosh, if I don't make it, how do I come back home? Me, I'm a hustler. I've always hustled and I've never made anyone part of my hustle. It's my personal hustle. So I'm going there freely, knowing that we're taking a chance. Like, it's probably the most expensive experiment my husband and I have ever taken on. Because the honest conversation we had most recently was, listen, if we go for round two, and it's obviously going to be easier now that America's opened up more. And we're like, if we go for round two and it's hard, fuck it. We got our green cards. We got the experience. We're coming home.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You cannot. Because a lot of people, I think their problem is that they're going, what are people going to say? What are people going to say when I'm back?
And the funny thing is, no one's going to. No one's going to be talking about it. You know,
everybody. What cares?
Everybody thinks that someone else is so interested in their life. And most people are not. They're living their own life. They don't give a shit whether you've moved here, come back, gone there. I mean, of course, it'll be gossip for like all of 5 minutes if they see you somewhere. But that's it.
Yeah.
They're not. Yeah. You've got to make a serious life decision. Do you really care what other people think of that? People who don't care about you. So I was talking to a couple who I met on Saturday at this birthday party I was at. And they said to me they're moving to Portugal. And they're going to, like his family are from Portugal, so he's got an EU passport and she's going to go with him and they're going to get married or whatever. And they're going to live there. And they said if they don't like it, they'll come back. I'm like, well, that makes sense. You know, If you can move there, if you can make the move there, then you can also make the move back. And who else's business is that but yours? Do what you want.
Just a bit like that stupid woman. There's a stupid woman who left South Africa, left her car parked there. She didn't finish her payments, left her house just like that with the key inside, didn't pay it off. She's seeing her ass in London, but she can't come back. Like I don't know what she's going to do, but literally you have to come back. But there's jail waiting for you. There's a sheriff of the court waiting because you decided it's cute to just leave
things. Oh my God.
Because you're never coming back to this shit town.
So she just dumped it all. She didn't even sell the property or sell the car.
No.
Wow.
That is so stupid. Do you not have friends?
It's like those people who just abandon their car on the side of the road. You know when you sometimes see a car that's just left on the side of the road? You're like, that's maybe, it's a couple of hundred thousand rand that you just left there. Why would you just leave?
So, in Dubai, that happens all the time, by the way. I'm not sure if you know that. If you go to Dubai, you'll see all sorts of high-end cars just being parked everywhere. It was such a fascinating thing that I saw there. And I asked the guys, and you'll often see the payment or whatever is actually underneath the windshield. And what happens is because there they fire you and you're gone the next day is it's just a common thing. Oh, okay. I'll just take this car and take it over. It's just in the culture there. Yeah. Which is very weird. Wow. Hey. So it's a real thing in Dubai. To anybody who, and we have plenty of listeners in Dubai, I know that they'll tell you about it. It's a real thing there, and it's high end cars, eh?
Hey.
Very, very interesting situation. Dumi, having said that, when you do come back, you should come back probably around spring when it's a little bit warmer, just in case there were people looking. They're generally having affairs around September because now you're outside, they see other people. Then they won't be looking at you coming back. I'm just a little bit of advice. Yeah.
It's so complicated.
Dumi, I'm in the middle of something you'll never imagine. People are out here.
Listen.
Yeah.
I heard a story yesterday about a guy, and I promise you this is absolutely true. I have no reason to not believe it. Yesterday, I heard a story about a guy who's married, right? And he's got a girlfriend on the side. And he's also been having an affair with a stripper. Three women, one guy.
What?
Do you know what kind of admin that is? Can you imagine how much bullshit you have to remember? What you told this one, what you told that one, what you told that one. That is work that will stress you out. You will die young. You will definitely die young. If you've got that much administration to do, that just sounds like a huge amount of work. Now, I don't know how someone does that. I don't know how.
So he's having three affairs, really, because he's cheating on his wife.
Yeah.
He's cheating on his girlfriend, mm-hmm. and he's cheating on the stripper with the other ones.
Yes, essentially.
Morskond.
And then he must still remember the mask and the condom.
Bless him. This guy, he's got to live on his bindi. What?
Yeah.
No ways, bro.
That's a lot of work.
That one, if he catches COVID, it's a motherfucker to trace that one. Yeah. Woo! They're tracing it. Aye, brother, you're busy.
But I don't know why people do this to themselves. This is so messy. This poor man, but he's an idiot because he's obviously one who's made these decisions, right? Why would you put yourself through such a huge amount of pain and difficulty? Because all you have to do is now you must just choose one and get rid of the other two. And apparently his wife knows about the other two and she's okay with it.
Oh, so then why does he need to cheat if she's okay
the
with
excitement.
It?
You need to cheat for the excitement. When you give me permission, lose my excitement. That's why people can cheat in open relationships, because even an open relationship has rules. And there's a thing you must satisfy, man. There's a thing. So...
No. You know what? I don't think people are perfect. I'm okay cheating or whatever. Life's hard. My thing is, one, chief, you don't need a stripper and then now your dog walker.
Uh-uh.
Like, just one, man.
It's too
good. If you're going to just one.
I'm sorry. Well, it's not good. It's not good.
The baby or the stripper now?
Tracy.
Maybe someone that's reckless.
No, maybe Tracy. One gives great conversation. One gives great kink.
So Tracy says, I've heard of a love triangle, but that is a love square. That's just insane.
But I'm impressed by his emotional presence or his emotional capacity, you know, to carry all of them. But we are assuming that he has full-on relationships with all of them. You could find that he just bangs the stripper. Yeah,
probably.
And with the girlfriend, it's a nice alternative from the wife, because the wife comes with responsibility and your life and your future and serious things. Whereas a girlfriend comes with, are you hungry? And then a stripper just comes with, must I stick a candle up your ass? So it's different needs, you know?
No, that's... Now you're talking.
That to me it makes sense.
But guys, can't he... Why is he not single? Because then he could do all of this stuff. But he wouldn't...
Then it won't be as exciting.
It's terrible.
And you need a safety net. Gareth, some guys... some guys just need... Like Dumi says, you need that safety net of knowing that she's my wife. That thing. Because sometimes... I don't know if you know the gentleman, but you pitch up with your wife at church, at the school meetings, at things like that. It's also a performance. The girlfriend... You know, Saturday, summer parties, it's lit. She's the one now. C-cups, flat stomach, C-on. The stripper, like Dumi's saying, the sick stuff, the Taiwanese sex swings with the candle up the ass. You know what I mean? So I'm with Dumi now.
Sounds like
it. It's about the show, Gary.
Sounds exhausting.
It's about the show. Because you can't take the stripper to St. Francis in December. You know what I mean? Is now the Smiths from St. Stidians. How are you rolling with sparkles in, you know, when we're trying to go on the boat with you know, and now I'm wearing my
clear heels.
Yeah, it's you can't take sparkles to the golf course. You can't go to Eagle Canyon.
You have a bit of glitter here. People are going, wow.
Imagine. No.
So the funny thing is, the same person who told me the story about this guy, I don't know him personally.
Yes.
Also told me a funny story about these neighbors that she's got, and the husband is a cheater, and he got home one night and the wife's shouting at him, and she can hear it through the, you know, through the window, and the wife's like, where have you been, and there's lipstick on your collar and blah blah blah, and he goes, but babe, that's not even my shirt. That's the best. That's like, you know, like,
that guy's a win.
Of all the shit excuses, that's like a Jacob Zuma level excuse. It's like so bad. Yes. No one believes it.
I have to ask, and I'm saying this because I've made out with guys and I've hugged. How the fuck do you get lipstick on a collar?
Exactly.
That's on purpose things. Mm-hmm. That's just rude. That's on purpose, and that's when I get pissed off. Because I feel like as a woman, well, you know you're dipping in other people's things. Dip, it's fine, dip. But don't send me a message that you dipped. Now you're starting cuck with me.
You know what? Do me. I think you are the second coming of Jesus. I tell every guy who let me tell you something. Or the third coming. He did the rock thing as well. But now I tell every guy, listen, chief, it's not that you're cheating on her. Hmm. It's respect her enough to hide it better. Like, that's always what I get from women when they get caught. It's never, okay, guys are cheating. Well, whatever they did. Respect me enough to hide it better. Do me. I'm telling you, come back to South Africa. You're wasting time in America. Come and start a church. I'll follow you. Even me. I don't even, I'll pay. Cryptocurrency, I'll pay.
Terrible.
Snap scan, I'll pay.
Terrible.
Donation time is crypto. We don't take rents.
Yeah, exactly. Oh my God. Oh,
what a story this guy is, Gareth. I can't believe you know someone like that. That I thought I knew some guys.
So I heard the story from someone else who does know them.
Oh.
It's always. Sure. It's always
I'm actually anxious just hearing that.
Well, that's what I was saying at the beginning. I wasn't really interested in like how it all works or what the different women provide this guy with or whatever. But to me, it just sounds like huge amounts of work. I mean, you know how hard it is.
No.
Just think about how hard it is to. So Dumi was saying she's having her 40th birthday in December. Now, to coordinate a birthday party, right, is a tough thing to do.
Mm.
You got to make sure that the guest list is right, and there's food, and there's drink, and there's a place, and there's whatever it is. There's got to be arrangements. And now, imagine doing that every day with three different women who you're trying to juggle. It's just,
you're overthinking it.
Yes, this is
no,
hard.
You're overthinking it. You're overthinking it. Because I'm going to start my day at home with my wife.
Mm.
Okay.
Maybe I'll do a lunch with her that day.
Mm.
When I knock off, it's a quickie with the stripper.
Yeah.
And then in the evening, it's just I give my girlfriend an hour because, hey, she's been a long work week. Or it's going to be a long, it's a heavy work week. You're overthinking this thing.
You should have been a man.
Umnakwethu. Gareth, you need to watch Umnakwethu.
You should have been a man. You sound like a...
She knows real life. Mm. No, Dumi knows real life. She's not out here pretending. Real life's happening whether you like it or not. Dumi, I respect you. I must tell you this.
All right, so listen to this, guys. We've got just a few minutes left of the show, and I want to bring on these two guys. I got this email. Good day, my fellow South African Gareth. I come to you in an hour of the plague, our hour of need, a time when we face lockdown after lockdown and load shedding by corrupt politicians, a time when two fellows lost their braai. As you know, no choppy, no braai, no tamati, no sly. What is braai with... What is a braai without a beer, glass of wine, or a braai broeikie? Imagine what is life without your braai. We come to you once again like Bernie Sanders or like President Ramaphosa and ask you to be of assistance in this great adventure called Gone Grill, our last student film, our graduation film. We would like to see you laugh, enjoy life again, remind you of those hours alongside the braai. So these two guys are putting a student film together, and I think they want our money. So like that, we don't have to give them any money, but let's see what they're on about. So here's Rick Bronkhorst and Ruan Potgieter, both the director and the producer of a student film. First of all, I mean, your email was very irritating, so I thought we'd give you a chance. So, all right, Rick, tell us what you're doing here. This is a student film, right?
Yes, Gareth. Good morning. Good morning. Yeah, it's our student film, as I've mentioned, our last film. About two guys that lost their braai, and we hope to help them retrieve it. Yeah, it's an emergency of great proportions.
What a shit premise for a movie.
Thanks, Gareth. Are you disgusted that you haven't been invited to the braai?
First of all, where are you guys studying, and who do you have to hand this film into? I mean, like, what's the student film for?
It's for City Varsity in Cape Town.
Okay.
So, we're handing it in over there.
All right.
And we hope to get good marks. Fortunately, you're not one of the lecturers.
thank goodness. All right. So tell us, Ruan, what's the idea? Is it the story of is it a heart-wrenching drama? Is it a comedy? Like, what's going on here?
Yeah, no, Gareth, it's more for comedy about these two guys that love to party, they love to braai like all South Africans do. And after one night of a big party, they realize the braai is gone.
Yeah.
And the whole world it's is basically, like, turned upside down.
To me, it's basically Rick and Morty.
It sounds like a great screwball comedy. Yeah. I'm already sold. I'm going, I don't see enough screwball comedy coming out of South Africa, especially when they're from young people, you know, not the boring screwball old people movies.
So why are you two wasting your parents' money or your own money doing movies when we need engineers and we need plumbers and electricians? Shouldn't you be doing that instead? That's my first and most important question.
No, Gareth. Thanks to me. Go for it. Shot.
Before you even answer, my baby. Hold on, Gareth. How do you think people got through lockdown? It's because of creative minds like these. That's exactly how we got through. Come tell us about the engineer. Where was the engineer when you're busy watching your Netflixes? Please.
That's true. All right. So tell me.
Don't come.
Tell me, guys. What do you need from us? Who else is involved in this project? What kind of money are we talking about? And how far down the line are you with producing this movie?
Okay, we're shooting on the 28th of October for a week or 5 days until the 1st of November.
You've already got a cast. Who's your cast? Have you got famous people?
we've got some people that play in television episodes.
Okay.
So, yeah, we didn't do too bad.
Okay.
Yeah, we've got this one guy called Liam Bosman. He's the lead.
Mm-hmm.
He's played in some CakeNet productions.
Okay.
And we've got Alberto Smith. He's been in a Woordfeus show.
Okay.
Two. Right. And this is Esperance Potgieter. She's been in Blue Crush too. Yeah, but a lot of people now won't remember that because that's back in the 2000s and 90s. Yeah. So
how much do you need to make this movie?
We estimated around about between 70 and 100. Yeah, but I'll guess.
Yeah. That's funny. It's funny. That's exactly the amount of money that Dumi lost on her one tenant in her one property. over lockdown.
Can you link us up with that tenant, please?
No, that tenant doesn't have the money because they couldn't even pay Dumi. So that's the problem. All right, so, listen, in movie terms, that's not a huge budget because, Dumi, you know you've done movies and you've been involved in lots of different entertainment projects. I mean, if you can do something between 70 and 100, and then you raise this money, are you hoping that you'll be able to recoup it on the other side by people, I don't know, paying to watch it at the box office or getting it onto Netflix or something like that? Or is it just really so you can get the marks and move on to bigger projects?
We're going to put it onto YouTube so that everyone can enjoy it.
Okay.
Yeah, we really want to get the whole of South Africa to enjoy the film. So we're hoping everybody loves it. And we're aiming for the 1st of December to have it online.
No.
And so we're not making a cent.
Yeah, okay, what are you going to do if you don't raise the funds?
we're gonna beg people to use locations for free.
Oh,
and
okay.
And ask our family to give us extra food, but we have to do this.
But your plan B is to beg, which is, I mean, that's okay.
Yes.
It's kind of like your plan A. It's not bad.
We can do it, man. You know, there's a short film that we shot, and I know, I feel your pain because you really need money. But there's also a lot of favors you need to call in. I mean, at some point, we actually got a pizza company to just sponsor our meals on the set. So I'm really hoping that the people who are watching can understand that on a set, among the money that you guys need, it's going to be the money to feed the people. And like you said, locations, if you can get people who can sponsor locations so that, and you tell them we're going to sell your location, like, you know, we'll credit you. But I really, really hope you make the money. But also in terms of wardrobe and stuff, the industry has been quiet. Hopefully you also find people who can give you wardrobe at next to nothing. But yeah, good luck. And whoever's listening, please, man, support these kids. The reason I support student films is because usually, especially with the SAFTAs and stuff, when I look at the student submissions, the talent. And you know, when they're young, they're not as fearful as us and trying to color inside the lines.
Sure.
So good luck, guys. I like it, especially because it's a screwball comedy. I love it.
Thanks, Timmy. Thanks for your vote.
No,
Gareth will convert you.
No. Guys, listen, I mean, I'm putting you on the show because I think you should get some support here. And if people want to support you, what's the best way for us to get to you guys? What, like, is there a crowdfund? Is there a what? How do we help?
Yes, we've got a website up. GoneGrill.com. So
it's gone.
Yeah, you can just go.
So it's not gone. It's not Gone Girl. It's Gone Grill. GoneGrill.com. Yeah. I love it. Okay, very
That's
good.
Exactly it. Yeah, that's it. Just GoneGrill.com, and you can link with the crowdfunding site from there. You can check out all the information. How we're progressing.
And you're not going to shame us if we only give you 20 rand.
No, definitely not. No, we'll say thank you in the credits as well.
Oh, wow. Yeah, okay.
We'll name everyone.
Nice. All right. So basically, three quarters of your movie is going to be the credits with people who gave you 20 rand.
Yeah. That is, yeah. We're going to have a whole thesis at the end of this.
How long have you two known each other?
Since first year, so that's, it's 3 years now.
2019.
All right.
No, it's been a while. Yeah.
And
keeping up with Ron.
Obviously, the producer has the tough job here because the producer has to bring in the money, right? And the director can just be artistic. So Ruan is the artistic guy here. And you, Rick, you're the one who has to make sure that the money works.
Yes, I'm Mr. Money or Minister of Money.
Yeah.
So
also,
fortunately, I don't work for this government.
Yeah,
so hopefully the money would go towards the film.
All right. Very, very nice. So obviously this is good timing as well, because if you're talking about braais and things, for a lot of people, Heritage Day is an opportunity to get together with friends and family and the community at large and have a little braai. So we will obviously be thinking about your movie. Go along to GoneGrill.com. And you can join these guys. It's a good idea. Dumi, do you know of any really cheap actors who are on the bones of their ass who will do this movie for free for them?
Dude, they'll do it just because they miss playing.
Shame.
So absolutely.
That's terrible.
Shame.
All right, so what are you going to do? What are you going to do if this is a huge success? I mean, what would you guys like? What's first prize? Would you go into movie making permanently? Is that your job that you want to do?
That's my goal, I really, the big dream is becoming a Hollywood producer. And one day, Yeah, when I can afford crypto as well.
Yeah. So there we go.
I'm hinting at that crypto for our crowdfund people, but anyway, yeah, you gotta start that's somewhere. The dream.
Hey, I've got an idea for a movie. Why don't you do a movie about a guy who has a wife and a girlfriend and a stripper, and he's trying to balance he's trying to balance his life between all three? Because I tell you what, that would be a very popular movie. I think a lot of people would watch that.
That is a very good idea, Gareth. I like the premise when I listened to you beforehand. Yeah, I know a story about a guy who got to the stripper and he cheated on his wife, and then he took the stripper back home, and he couldn't get rid of her. She just stayed at his house, and the certain mob of a company formerly known as the Soviet Union. Mm-hmm. Soviet Union. Sort of told him that he can't get rid of her. He has to take care of her now since he took her in.
This is your new wife. You look after her. I will not bring Yuri and my other friends. We come to shoot you if you don't look after Nastasha. Right? That's kind of how it goes.
I think we should mix the two stories and we'll have a good comedy coming up.
Dude, I already know where you can go to recruit the stripper character in Cape Town. I mean, who doesn't know Mavericks, right? Let's go there. So, all right. Beautiful work, boys. Well done and good luck to you. The movie is called Gone Grill, and it sounds like a very interesting premise. You can throw some money at these guys and hopefully help them along their way to make their movie. And you know what? Guys, I wish you luck. I mean, as Dumi says, it's hard to do these things. We'll see the best of creativity from student films, and I wish you guys the best.
Gareth, Dumi, thanks a lot. Yeah, sure. We appreciate
thanks
it.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Sure.
You're welcome to our braai.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Very good, gents. Thank you. Dums, very nice to see you this morning, and thank you for making some time for us, especially while you are taking a break in Etekwini. And we'll hopefully see you in person soon.
Oh, I'm not taking a break. I'm shooting a film. I actually have to shoot off another here to fetch me. Ooh. And yes, I'll send you my CV. I'm going to come apply for a job. I want my job back.
You can have your job back like that. And I hope we'll also be celebrating your 40th birthday in December. So let me know what's going on there.
Yes.
Damn right.
Cool.
All right, baby. Love to the family. We'll see you tomorrow on cliffcentral.com at 6 a.m. bright and early. Have an excellent day. Cheers, everybody. Bye-bye.
Bye. CliffCentral.com